It's been an honor to be here, and just feel so comfortable here. And I just said the other night, this is the first place we ever came for a conference, and your family, everybody's family to us here, and so it's like coming back to a big family reunion every summer. And I've seen Don Shelby too, and all the different preachers that come through. It's just, it's nice, it's wonderful, and you don't truly know how blessed we are to have these men faithfully preach the gospel to us. Tonight I'd like to look in Ezekiel chapter 34. And I'd also like to read a portion of John chapter 10. The name of the message is The Shepherd of the Sheep. Ezekiel 34. Starting in verse 11. And as we read this, I'd like to note how much the word I is used. It's pretty incredible. You know, religion, folks like to use the word I. When I was in religion, I used to use that all the time, thinking I was the one who made the decision, and I was the one who came to Christ. And I just thank God that He revealed to me the gospel and revealed to me that it had nothing to do with me. I was just a recipient of His grace. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Oh, what comfort. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now, there's a historical context to this, but I like what Brother Gene said this morning. This points to Christ. This is all about Christ right here, and about the sheep. Scripture says in verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Oh, what great comfort. And then let's turn over to John chapter 10. Keeping in mind what we just read in Ezekiel. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Remember in Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to seek him out. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I was reading A.W. Pink on this, and he says that that's the gospel being preached by faithful men, the true gospel being preached, and the sheep hear the voice. When they hear false preachers, they say, that's not my shepherd speaking. But when they hear faithful preaching, true preaching, truth being taught, we have the truth. Then the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then in the same chapter, in verse 24, so we just read where the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The evidence of God's sheep is they believe. They believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In one of the most chilling verses in the Bible, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, verse 27. Hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. And they follow me. And I'll give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Wonderful, wonderful truth. One of the most glorious descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures is where He's depicted as the shepherd of His sheep. Ezekiel again 34:12 says, As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. They're not looking for him. And will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. He's the shepherd of a specific people, and they're called his sheep. They're called his sheep. A specific flock to which he attends, and a specific purpose to do everything in his power to provide pasture for them and to deliver them from harm. He watches over his sheep, as we heard this morning, Brother Gene, from conception until the grave. And he knew him even before that. Even before that. Jesus Christ is the one shepherd, the first one. Jesus Christ is the one shepherd. Let's look at Ezekiel 34 again. Verses 22 and 23. Therefore will I save my flock. This is definite. This is definite. And there shall be no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. There are many religions and sects in this world. As we left this afternoon, I noticed a sign up in front of one of the buildings over there. And it said, The Church. Well, they're looking at the church as the authority. It said the church of Jesus Christ that rescue, I believe it says over there. The church of Christ. Christ's church are his people. Not a building. Not a meeting place. His people. His flock. The actual truth is that one religion is just as good as another in the sense that they all lead to the same end. Though some of them are effective in producing morality in the form of devotion, ultimately every religion out there which man pursues will lead to his destruction. Eternal life cannot be found in a religion or in morality, but only in Christ. In Him alone. There's only one way or one portal, as we read in John chapter 10, to everlasting life. And that's through the great shepherd of the flock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There's no other way. We pass through doors, and he gives us analogies that we go through, things that we see every day in life. How many doors do we pass through a day? He says, I'm that door. We can't get out of this building without going through a door. He says, I'm that door. I'm the door. I'm the way. There's no other way. the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Any man who hopes for eternal life in any creed or religion or person other than Jesus Christ will eventually find his hope to be vain, sinking sand, hopeless. Point number two is Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. John chapter 10 verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For the sheep. Now a good shepherd will do whatever he is necessary to protect his flock. Whatever he has to do, he'll do it. Now where we are here in our society here, we don't see a lot of shepherds, but in eastern countries there's still a lot of them. And they have to protect them from wolves and other prey that come around and want to destroy the flock. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 23. A good shepherd will do whatever is necessary to protect his flock. Psalm 23. We're all familiar with it. Psalm of David. Who was a shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Have you ever been in want since the Lord saved you? We may have had some stuff that we may have wanted, but as far as food on the table, clothes on our back, feet, shoes on our feet, we've not been in want. And in Christ, we have all that we need physically in the Lord's providing and all that we need spiritually. And he is all sufficient. He provides everything for us. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Peace with God. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He restores my soul. We just read, or we just sang, revive me again. And we're down. Life is, we're going through some things. And what brings us back up? But our great King. But our great King. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The believer is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he said he'll never leave his people. Never. Never. Remember we read earlier too? No man can pluck us. No man can pluck us out. No man. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He carries me from my mother's womb and will be with me when I die. What a blessed Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Brother Gene hit it, of God before us. Who can be against us? This is God. God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over and over and over in spiritual blessings in Christ. Surely goodness and mercy, all the mercy of God in Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. The mercy of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price of dying to secure the redemption of all who would, those who belong to Him. All His sheep. Who are those who belong to Him? The elect of God. The sheep. When were they given to Him? Before the world began. Religionists like to completely warp the truth of this. Joshua picked up a track one day. We were out and about, and he picked up a track, and In the back of the track, he read it, and he was shocked as he read this, and it said, now that you believe, now, your name is just written in the book of life. Like God just picked up his pen right there and wrote your name. It's not biblical. It puts the power in man's hands rather than in God's hands. And truly, this is what Brother Gene was getting at today. I think when you were talking about the God of their own imagination, their own doing. It's not the God of the Bible. When were God's people's names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Before the stars ever were. Before the worlds were spoken into existence. His people's names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And beloved, it's God who wrote them in. The sovereign, almighty, eternal, ancient of days penned his people's names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows. Yoke fellows. Philippians 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, look at Paul's next line after this declaration. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The believer's name is written in the book of life. Rejoice. Rejoice. Beloved, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The sheep were given to the shepherd, and now he's gathering them in to himself. Gathering them. He seeks out the lost sheep. And it's not the sheep seeking them. And those of us, we know we never sought out God. We may have been religious. I know I was religious and never sought him out. Never read the scriptures. I thought I was religious, thought I was okay, thought I was fine. Until the shepherd came and revealed himself to me through Scripture. Showed me my need for him. Turn with me again, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. I know I've got us going around a little bit here, but Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I'm sure glad that's in Scripture. And the Pharisees said, and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now they were appalled. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it. Till he find it. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. Now picture this. He finds the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders. Where's that sheep going to gaze? Right into the face of the shepherd. Right into his face. Right there. Right beside him. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The shepherd sought out the sheep. The sheep was lost, wandering around, and he went and got him. He went and fetched him. He went and fetched him. Remember Mephibosheth? Go and fetch him. Go and fetch him. God's sheep are scattered all through time. All through time. Their sin had separated them from the Father, but he willingly laid down his life. Christ willingly laid down his life to pay their sin debt. To remove that wall of separation. Turn with me one more place, if you would, to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. The great shepherd seeks his sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He bore them like they're his own. Like they're his own. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He had no sin of his own. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all like that sheep in Luke 15, gone and lost. We turned everyone to his own way. Remember how you used to think before the Lord saved you? Remember how you used to think about God and his people? And how you do now? What a great change. We're gone. We were all gone to our own way. All of us. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid it upon him. He who knew no sin, as I said, became sin for us. The sinless sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thought sin. Not one spoken sin. Nothing. No sins and deeds. Nothing. Absolutely, all I am is sin. And he was totally sinless. And this is just not my sin that's being laid upon him here. This is all the sin of all the elect, of all the ages, being poured out on the substitute. And Scripture says, he bore it. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he's the sinner's substitute. Bearing that sin like it's his own. Not saying, guilty as charged. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Not even a word. Not a word. Just bearing the wrath of justice. But he accomplished everything that was necessary for them, for his sheep to enter into eternal life, which he promised them before the world began. Scripture says in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The soul that sinneth, it must die. justice, I remember hearing Henry this week, I think he said that justice is demanded and mercy is optional. Justice had to be paid. It had to be. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. In verse 11 in Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Is finished. That which God demands has been paid. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why? For he shall bear their iniquities. He shall. All the law and justice of God demanded was fully paid for at Calvary's cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. Substitution. Dying in the place, in the room of his people, in the place of sinners, in satisfaction. It's finished. It's finished. And he has all the power, and man has none. Scripture says in John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. When was it given to him? Way before the foundation of the world. Way back. Regenerated by the Holy Spirit, begotten by God. The next point is, he is the great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Death is the enemy of the great enemy of mankind, casting its dark shadow over the whole human race because of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the great shepherd because he has triumphed. He has triumphed over death and the grave. Since he rose from the dead, his sheep have the promise that they too shall rise in the resurrection of their bodies. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. Do you believe? Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, believest thou this? Believest thou this? The most important question. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? For the believer, he is everything in life and in death. But death has now lost its sting for those who have been the recipients of the promise of eternal life in the great shepherd of the sheep. It's lost its sting. The next point is, he is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Fadeth not away. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world with little fanfare. He took on the form, and oh, the condescension of Christ. The one who rules and reigns in glory becomes a man among those whom he's created. He took the form of a servant and was pleased to dwell in the earth with a meek and gentle disposition. He laid aside his glory, which was from his from eternity. Laid aside. And walked here as a common man without even a dwelling to call his own. He allowed himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter, not even speaking harshly to those who ministered or mistreated him. Instead, he prayed for them. He prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, some have assumed, since he humbled himself in this fashion, that is his eternal nature, to be meek and lowly. But this is a great mistake. He is high and lifted up. High and lifted up. And the heavens and earth shall flee away from His presence. And when He returns to earth with a full display of His power and His glory, Revelation chapter 6, Scripture declares, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains." And I heard Brother Henry say one time, this is the biggest prayer meeting in the world, and they're praying to the rocks to cover them. And he said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? He shall not appear unto men in humiliation with which He was clothed when He first came. He shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all who have not bowed their knees to His Lordship. And He is Lord. Whether they bow or not, He's Lord. And they will bow one day. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He shall gather His sheep, for whom He shed His precious blood for, and give them a place in His very presence, and will behold His glory for eternity." For eternity. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5, one last time. Revelation chapter 5. Starting in verse 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb.'" Oh, that's what we cry here. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. This is the great shepherd of the sheep. So who are His sheep? He said in John chapter 10, "To Him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name. And they come." They come. They're not... He's not waiting there for them to make a decision and wringing His hands. Scripture says, "He calleth His own sheep by name and He leadeth them out." He leads them out. This is God. "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them." He goes before His own sheep. He leads them. And where He leads, they follow. They follow. "For they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him. For they know not the voice of strangers." The question is, do you hear Him today?